But here we are. I want to say Happy New Year to every single one of you here today, every single one who's joined us online. Happy New Year. I don't know about you, but I'm believing for a Happy New Year. Amen? You know, let's face it. Here we are. We've never, ever been here before, right? So we're looking at this year with a brand new perspective. Let's pray before we get into the Word. Thank you, Father. Your word tells us that we are to live by faith. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. God, open up our ears to hear what your spirit has to say. Help us to hear it, to receive it, to believe it, and to walk in it. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Yep, you know, we've never been here before. It's a brand new year, and we're kind of looking at this year with a different perspective than before, right? It reminds me of the story of a couple of beggars, and they were standing in front of a mansion on a cold day, and they were hesitating to go in because right there in front of them was this growling watchdog, and the one guy said to his friend, he said, "Just go on in. Like, there's nothing to be afraid of because the dog is barking, but his tail is wagging." And then his friend replied, "Yeah, but I don't know which end to believe in." You know, that's kind of like us this year, right? Like, we don't really know what's coming this year. You know, a lot of people are actually thinking and believing that this year could possibly be the worst year of their life. You know, they're looking at this year as a year with fear. But I want to tell you that there is more. That God has more for every single one of us, right? I want to tell you and I want to declare that the best is yet to come. Can you say that with me? The best is yet to come. So we want to be living and breathing in this life that God has for us this year. So today I want you to lean in by faith. Lean in. Look by looking at this, your future with faith, with vision. Because that's what vision is on your PowerPoint. Vision is your faith. Vision is the faith that has the ability to look and see into the future. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 says, "My people, they perish because what? They have no vision." They perish. Without vision, you will end up wasting your time and your money on things that just don't matter. I mean, look at the example of a teenager. Not all teenagers, but some teenagers, none of you teenagers here, you know, some teenagers, you know, their vision is all about playing games, right? They're locked in their rooms, and they're literally gaming their life away. But listen, vision, on the next point, vision is a key to progress. You've got to have vision. You've got to have the right vision for your life, right? Because without vision, you know, you waste your time. There's another scripture that says, you dwell carelessly without vision. Vision is one of the most important qualities we can have because vision gives us the ability and it affirms who we are, why we are here, and what we are called to. And there's another thing about vision. Vision is caught. It's not taught. So you've got to catch the vision. In other words, today God wants us to lift up our eyes to what He has for us today, right? I want you to catch the vision, just like you could catch a bad cold. That's a bad example. But I want you to catch it. I want you to catch something here that just embeds right within your heart, right? We need vision. We need to lift up our eyes to what God has for us, where we're going, because God has designed everything that's alive to have vision and to have a purpose for living. I'll tell you another story. I heard of a story about this leaky old ship, and it's right in the middle of a rough and a stormy sea. And the sailors within that ship, they were terrified. They were literally afraid that they were going to lose their life. So one of the sailors went up to see the captain, and he said, "Captain, are we safe?" And the captain says, "Well, I'll put it this way." He said, "The boilers are very weak, and they may blow up any moment." And he said, "And the ship is very old, and she's taking on water." And he says, "To be very honest with you, we may have an explosion, or we may sink." And he said, "We may go up, or we may go down, but at any rate, we are going on." Amen? You know, that's like us this year. Jesus may come back, and we may go up. Or we may die, and then we'll go down. But then we'll go up. But at any rate, as a church, as the people of God, we are going on. Can you say amen to that? We are going on. We're not stagnant. We're not stuck. We are going on. You know why? Because God is not stopping. God has not stopped moving. He's not stopped planning. God has plans that involve you and us this year. God's calling us to do what we have not yet done. He's calling us to be what we have not yet become. As a church, as a body of believers, I believe that when we think about our future, it should be one of hope. It should be one of hope. We should have this deep certainty within us that we're called not to gloom and doom, not to be destroyed, but to a hope, to be optimistic. Amen? Because on your PowerPoint, when God calls us to press on, to move forward, it's because He has called us to something that we just cannot experience if we stay where we are. You agree with that? And as we leave 2020, God is calling every one of us to some area to move on in some area of our life, one area or another, or another. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul said, "By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal," where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. He's beckoning us onward to Jesus. He's not forcing us. He's not making us. He's beckoning us to Jesus, to His plan, to His purpose, and to live for Jesus with all our heart. And He's beckoning us on to the greatest purpose this world has ever seen. You know what that purpose is? The purpose is the kingdom. The purpose is the kingdom. It's the extending the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And the means in which God has planned to advance His kingdom forward is the church, right? It's the church. We have been called to the greatest purpose on the earth. So here's what we believe. Remember what I prayed? We got to believe. My opening was prayer that faith comes by hearing the word, the message. The message comes through the word of God. We got to believe God's word. You know what? This is what I believe. This is what we believe as the church. Number one, we believe in the coming kingdom. We believe in the coming kingdom. Matthew 13:31. Jesus told a parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." The mustard seed. The mustard seed is the smallest of seeds, yet it becomes the largest of plants. It starts out small, but it doesn't stay small. It gets huge. It gets massive, right? In Matthew 13:33, he told them another parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour." Now I thought, that's a lot of flour. How many of you women bake bread? I mean, how many? Is any bread? Oh, there's a few hands going up. Have you ever baked 60 bread with 60 pounds of flour? I mean, that's, how many kilograms is that? That's about a, isn't that about 120 kilograms of flour? Am I right? That's a lot of flour. You know, Jesus is saying, no, this woman's not baking just a little bit of bread. I mean, she's baking a huge amount of bread, right? And since she takes this bread, about 60 pounds of flour, and takes this yeast and then works it throughout all the dough, You know, I remember just as a kid watching my mom bake bread. And I remember doing the same thing, taking the flour, taking the water, making this dough. And she'd take this little pack of yeast. It's called Fleischmann's yeast. It's a little yellow pack. And she put that little bit of yeast in there. And then she'd just knead it, and work it. And then she'd take that big lump, and she'd set it on the table on some, you know, with some flour. And then she'd get some flour, and she'd break it up into small pieces. And she'd put it, all the pieces, into these bread pans. And then she'd cover it up and leave it on the counter overnight. And then we'd look at it and see these little pieces of dough. And in the morning, we'd wake up and she'd take away the cloth. And I just remember being amazed at this little piece of dough just rising right over the top of the pan. You know, that was amazing to me. Well, that yeast, Jesus is saying the kingdom is like the yeast. It's like the yeast that's put into that dough. And it permeates and it infiltrates the entire batch of dough. And it does that slowly, powerfully, entirely. See, Jesus says that it's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God has come, right? When did it come? Does anybody know? It came when Jesus came. Remember when John the Baptist announced, the kingdom of God is coming. The king is coming. It started way back then. The kingdom of God has come. And listen, and it is still coming. And it's still coming until it literally fills the whole earth. It's growing. We believe in the coming kingdom. Number one. Point number two. The kingdom, listen, is not getting weaker. The kingdom is getting stronger. And it'll keep on getting stronger until every knee bows and until every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Until the whole earth is filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord. And that's what Isaiah says. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Listen, there is no greater time to serve Jesus and his kingdom than today. See, we believe in a church, I believe in a church, that will increasingly become more and more powerful and will succeed in its mission, in its mandate here on earth. Amen? Matthew 16:18. Jesus put it this way. He was speaking to Peter. He said, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Amen. I want to tell you, Jesus is still building his church. Can I say that again? Jesus is still building his church. You know, he's not upset. He's not worried about, he's not standing looking at the world, what's happening with COVID, what's happening with all the stuff that's behind the scenes with world leaders. He's not there wringing his hands. You know, he doesn't have a mask on. He's not social distancing. The Bible says that he's Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's with us. He's in us. He's for us. And he is moving on. Amen? And he wants us to move on with him. And he's not telling us to hunker down. And he's not telling us to isolate. You know, I think some Christians, when they see this, when they hear this scripture, they're relieved. They're relieved to say, Jesus is saying, thank God Jesus is still building this church. And I think that it's because somehow these Christians, they imagine and they envision that the church is like this little fortress and all the powers of hell and darkness are surrounding. And so they're hunkering down and they're hiding away and they're literally freaking out, right? And so, but Jesus gives us this word picture of this rock. And he says, you know, you are Peter, you are Petros, you're like a rock, you're strong. But on this church, I will build on this rock, on this Petra, like a rock of Gibraltar, I will build my church, right? And what he gives us this word picture to say that hell will not be able to stand against the growing power of my church on earth. That's what he's trying to say. And so he gives us this picture of the seed that's growing and overpowering. He gives us the picture of the yeast that is infiltrating the entire world. And it's also a picture of the church, of God's people. You know, Jesus will not return to a weak and to a dying people. Jesus will return to a thriving church, and he will establish his world and his rule and his sovereign rule on the earth. Amen? His will. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and a loud voice broke forth in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world, that is the kingdom of finance, culture, and government, both religious and secular, has become the kingdom of our God and his anointed one. He will reign supreme for an eternity of eternities. Amen? Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the house of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his way, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. And I see all you rulers and all you authorities who are coming up with your schemes, your anti-God schemes to take over this world, to turn our nation into a socialist state, to take over the world with other greedy, hungry, power-hungry people to try to establish one world government. Read this scripture. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Amen? God has a plan. Psalm 1 says, why are they in an uproar? You know, why do the nations plot and plan? Right? And God says, you know what? He'll just breathe on their nostrils and they're gone. They vanish. Amen? You know, sometimes we look at what's happening in this world, and we think, wow, it's really getting bad. They're going to do all this stuff to the world. They're going to take over the world. They're going to wipe out the church. They're going to destroy, you know, they're going to destroy Christianity. They're going to do everything to get rid of God and Jesus and the Word of God out of society, out of culture, out of the government. But God says, I'm going to establish my hill. The mountain of the Lord will be established as chief among the mountains. And he's literally going to take over government and finances and education and every other mountain. The church that Jesus is going to reign. And he's going to establish his rule, his word, his way, his financial, you know, methods into the world. Amen? It's God's way, God's house. The church. Not a lie, this is so important. The church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. And not only that, this is so important. We are the church. You are the church. And so we need to talk about the church. I'm going to finish off talking about the church. What do you envision? What do you envision that you're a part of? How do you see the church? So here's how we see the church. The church we see keeps advancing. It keeps advancing, right? Number one, the church we see is faith-filled, it's big thinking, it's risk-taking in the cause of expanding God's kingdom.
That's who we should be. Amen? We're a church. We should not be content to stay that where we are. And you know, we cannot be complacent. We cannot be passive. We can't be lethargic. You know, and we can't be content to stay where we are, just as we are no more. You know, I believe to do that is literally an insult. It's a slap in the face of Jesus. He created us to be way more than lethargic, complacent, afraid and full of fear, isolated and hiding away. He didn't call us to be that. He called us to advance, to take territory, to advance His kingdom, to display the glory and the power of Jesus on this earth. Amen? We are vessels. We are containers of His power and His presence. Wherever we go, that's where Jesus is. If Jesus wants to invade Starbucks, He's going to send you or me, right? Wherever we go, He goes. We got to start going. That's why we'll do everything that we can to see someone come to Christ, to reach people for Jesus who don't know Christ. We do everything to try to make them into biblical disciples. Amen? Do everything to help bring hope and help to as many people as we can, because that's what we were created for, right? Listen, we were born for such a time as this. We were born for such a time as this. And so that's why we need to arise, shine, because the Holy Spirit is saying, let your light shine before men. Amen? For your light has come. That's the kind of church what we see. Secondly, the church we see is a church of small groups, life groups. It's getting bigger and it's getting stronger at the same time. It's a church where people really connect. It's not just come to a service to be entertained, you know, or to, you know, just to listen to a bit of scripture and to go home. It's to connect. It's to participate. There's a closeness that needs to be in the church, a sense of family, a sense of belonging, right? And that's so much up to us. Number three, the church we see is a church that's doing church like a team. It's everybody working together with one common purpose, one goal. You know, everybody is doing something and enjoying the work of the ministry, enjoying each other. Because that's what joy is, isn't it? Joy is about connecting with Jesus. But it's also about connecting with each other. And it's about you doing your part and feeling that sense of significance because you're playing your part. You're part of the team. Number four, the church that we see is celebrating and passionate in worship towards God. This morning, it was way too quiet. You know, I realize it's a worship video, but let's enter in. Let's enter into worship. You know, the church we see is celebrating and passionate in worship towards God. It's alive. It's hungry for God. It's like David said, I was glad. He didn't say I was mad, I was sad. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Right? I was glad. You know, the church we see worships the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, and all their strength. The church that we see enters into triumphant praise and passionate worship. And the church that we see is living like Jesus is going to come back tomorrow, but also planning as if Jesus won't be back for another 100 years. Number five, the church we see is encouraging and it's exciting and it's full of life. You know, we come here to be encouraged, right? You know, I come and a lot of times, I got to admit, even as a pastor, I get down, I get discouraged. And I think, you know, what's the use sometimes? You know, you try so hard, you want to see more results, you want to see changes, you want to see the power of God and the presence of God. But we know, and sometimes I just lose courage, I lose, you know, and so I come to church and I see these faces and I see the people that I love and are part of our family and I see God doing things in your life and I see that God is alive and well in His house and, you know, that just fills me with encouragement. And, you know, and this morning, I couldn't wait to come to church. I was excited to come to church and to see everyone. It's exciting. I was excited to gather. It's a place that's full of life. You know, and sometimes you just got to stir yourself up. Sometimes you can't rely on somebody else to stir you up. You got to stir yourself up. You got to stir yourself up in the most holy faith like David did. He had to encourage himself. Everybody wanted to kill him. In this one place where, you know, he got into a battle and the armies came and took away their family and their possessions, and all David's men, you know, said, but they were ready to kill him because they thought David had made a big mistake. But it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. David stirred himself up in his relationship with God. And sometimes that's what we've got to do. Can I say this? Don't allow yourself to get lethargic and apathetic in these times. Amen? Don't allow yourself to do that. I see so many Christians settling down like water settles to the lowest place. Don't settle to the lowest place. Amen? Number six, we'll give you one more. The church we see is extravagant in generosity toward God and one another. It's the church that gives joyfully because God loves a church that gives cheerfully, a cheerful giver. You know, it's also a church that I believe that's not afraid of the cross, not ashamed of the cross. And sometimes, you know, as Christians, we can be ashamed of the cross. We are ashamed to tell people about what we believe in, right? But let's not be ashamed of the cross. Let's be so excited about what God has done for us that we cannot wait to share it with other people with joy. Amen? And with generosity. That's a picture of the cross. You know, it's being generous to Jesus, but it's also generous to one another. Amen? You know, there's a few more points I could add in, but that's the church that we see. It's always moving forward, always advancing. You know, it's succeeding in its mission, and it's called to dominion, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. Amen? Can you say with me, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I'm almost done here. Jesus told another parable about two sons. In Matthew 21, verse 28, he said, what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. And the son answered, no, I won't go. But later on, he changed his mind and he went anyway. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. And then Jesus asked the question, which son do you think pleased the father? You know, I looked at this parable and I think, you know what? That second son is reflective of many Christians' lives today. As Christians, we can say yes to Jesus on the front end of our relationship. Do you remember when you first received Christ? How excited you were? You realized what he had done for you? He died on the cross. He paid for every one of your sins. He gave you a brand new life. He gave you a good things that you can never get it from anywhere else. And he gave you eternal life, a home in heaven forever. And you looked at all that he had done for you, this abundant life. And man, you would be willing to say yes to Jesus for anything he asks you to do, right? But over time, as we get older, we can get tired, we can get busy, and we can get apathetic, and we could end up saying no to a lot of things that God is asking us to do. Amen? Like go to church, gather to church, be in church, get online, be a part of the church. We can say no to church. So many Christians have said no, or say no to God right now. No to tithing. No to forgiving. No to volunteering. No to serving. No to generous living. They're just isolated, off by themselves. And they're like that second son, right? What can I say? What can you do? What can you do? What can you say? Well, here's the first thing you can do is you can say yes to Jesus. But listen, when you say yes, it's not just a verbal assent. It's not just a mind decision. It requires faith and it requires action. When you say yes, God wants you to do something about it. Amen? It's a call to action, to put your faith into action. It's doing something with your time, your money, your ability, your resources. It requires some sort of action. The Bible says this, that faith that doesn't involve action is what? It's phony. It's phony. In other words, it's false. It's not even faith. James chapter 2, verse 18. So then faith that doesn't involve action is phony. You can believe all you want that there is one true God. And that's wonderful. But even the demons know this and tremble with fear before him. Yet they're unchanged. They remain demons. Verse 24, so now it's clear that a person is seen as righteous, another righteous, right with God, righteous in God's eyes, not merely by faith alone, but by his works. Amen? Without action, we're like that second son who said yes, but didn't go, did not obey. And he was useless to his father. I could say more about that. Secondly, when you say yes to Jesus, it's going to feel risky. It's going to require you to get out of some places that are safe to you. In 2021, you're going to feel like a ship that's coming out of the safe harbor, and you're getting in the open waters again. And this year, God is calling us to depend on him more than ever before, to trust him more than ever before, and do it with all your heart. Amen? And thirdly, when you say yes to Jesus, if you obey, it's going to make you feel uncomfortable, maybe just for a while, but in the end, you will be blessed and you will be rewarded by God. You know, sometimes it just means you're going to have to get up when you don't feel like getting up and doing those things that aren't comfortable. Sometimes it's going to mean just taking steps and getting committed to things that you might have said no to before. Amen? And it means facing changes that will challenge you. But it'll challenge you, but you can face that challenge with the strength and the courage that God is ready to give you through his Holy Spirit. See, that's how we're going to experience the good things of God for us in 2021. We cannot sit back like we did in the latter part of 2020. God has great things, good things for us, but we've got to press in and move ahead. Because the world will literally pass you by, and you will stay in your little isolated spiritual bunker, and you will accomplish. No, I could go on, but I don't want to preach too much on the negative side here. Amen? So, here's the big question. What can I do? Let's put this into practical terms. Here's some things, quickly. Number one, be a prayer. Be a prayer. Be someone who prays. Enter into prayer. Pray for the church. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for each other. Pray for your homes. Pray for your children. Pray. Get on your knees and connect with God like you never connected before. Pray for the lost. Pray for your leaders. Join us in 3 days in prayer and fast too as well. January 11th, 12th, and 13th. Let's connect with God. Another thing you can do, be a giver. Be a giver. You know, start giving financially. Start somewhere. If you're not a giver, start with some percentage, but be a giver. Thirdly, be a bringer. Listen, the time has never been right. I believe that this coming year, 2021, more hearts will be open to hearing the gospel than ever before in this last decade. There are people whose hearts are going to be ripe to hear the gospel. And Jesus' cry is going to be, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Send workers into my harvest field. You are the workers. We are the workers. Amen? We're going to go after the harvest this year. I'm going to introduce another program called Pray and Go. I'll talk about it maybe next week. But how we're going to actually go into our neighborhoods and maybe even the neighborhood you live in and start praying for every single one of those families in a non-intimidating way. And I'll explain that later, but we're going to see people come to Christ. We're going to see hearts open. We're going to build bridges to people in our communities and our neighborhoods. Amen? Be a prayer. Be a giver. Be a bringer. There's no greater time, better time, more people are open to the gospel. And that last one, be involved. Serve somewhere. We need people serving in the church. We want to do kids' church every week, but we can't because we don't have enough workers. We want to do things, but we need workers. We need volunteers. We need to just step up. Anyone at any time can serve. Amen? So get on a team. And another thing you can do is connect in a small group. When you join a small group, you become a team as well, where you can actually work together as well as fellowship together and learn the Word of God together and encourage one another. Amen? Be involved. No, say yes. Say yes, because the best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. So, can I say this? It's time to fire up your motor. Fire up your motor. It's time to shift into a new gear. Amen? It's time to move forward with faith, right? And look at this year. This is a year where you're not just going to survive. You're going to what? Thrive. Thrive. I'm getting tongue-tied. Amen? If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Let's thank Jesus. Let's thank God for His kingdom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're part of a powerful, 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 powerful kingdom. We're serving an awesome God. And nothing is impossible for you. I thank you that each one of us has a role to play. God is not finished with any single one of us yet. He's got a plan for us. He's got a place for us to serve. And Lord, you have a perfect plan for this earth. And we look at the current events and see what's happening. Lord, we can get scared. We can back off. We can think of all the things, the negative things that are going to happen. Or we can look at your word. And we can trust in you. We can build up our faith. And we can encourage one another, Lord. And we can be strong as we're united together as one in your church. We thank you that the local church is the hope of the world. We are the church, and we all have a powerful place to play. So, Father God, you have more for us. You have better for us. Better marriages, better businesses, better jobs, even better health. I said better health. You have health for us. I believe there are going to be healing and miracles of healing in this house. I believe we're going to be able to share those miracles with people. So many people are sick, sick in their soul, sick in their bodies. I believe that God wants to display His power through His people. Thank you, Father. You have more for us. You also have new for us. You have new relationships. You have new ministries. You have new opportunities. You have good things planned for us in 2021. And so, Father, we say yes. We say yes to all that you are asking us to do. We say, yes, we will serve you. Yes, we will gather together. Yes, we will worship you. Yes, we will give. In Jesus' name, we say yes. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen. We just bow your heads for just a moment. And I just want to pray for someone here. Maybe there's more than one. Maybe you're here. Or maybe you're watching and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And He's beckoning you today to Himself. And He wants you to give up your life for the life that He wants to give you. It's a new life. It's an abundant life. And it's an abundant life that leads right to an incredible life in heaven. If this is for you, and you've never received Christ into your heart, you never invited Him in, then will you pray this prayer? But when you pray this prayer, you've got to pray this prayer. And you've got to really mean it with all your heart. Amen? So if that's you, pray after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you shed your blood to pay for all my sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all my sins, for all those things I'm ashamed of. Thank you for forgiving me and taking away all that shame and condemnation. And today, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time and you're here, will you raise your hand and just hold it up high. And one of the ushers will direct you to the back. You can go right back to that table with the light on. It's called the welcome lounge. And we'll tell you what your next faith step is. Amen? So if you said that prayer, you know, raise your hand, and then let's meet an usher right back there. And if you said that prayer online, press that little hand at the bottom of the screen. Just to let you know that you said that prayer, and then call the number. Then we'll connect you with someone who will tell you what your next faith step with Jesus is. Amen? Amen. God is so good. God is in the house. Amen? We're not finished yet. We've got a special part of our service today. It's called communion, and Yolanda's going to lead us. Come, Yolanda.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Doug. Okay, guess what? First communion of 2020. I think that's fairly significant today. So this is for anybody who has acknowledged that Jesus died for them on the cross. If you haven't acknowledged that yet, you can just sit back and like try to grasp why we do this thing. If you said it right now, and maybe you didn't raise your hand when Pastor Doug was giving that altar call, you get to do this now. You get to participate in this. And so let's begin. Okay, do you guys know the last words when Jesus died on the cross, when he was hanging there, the last thing he said before he died was, "It is finished." He went through all the physical suffering. It was very gruesome and horrible, and it was done. And then in Hebrews 10, verse 12, there's a verse that says, "And when Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice," that's him, "for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father, waiting from that time on until his enemies should be made a footstool under his feet." It's very significant that he sat down. Back in the old times, the priests would have to be standing constantly. Their work is never done. But when Jesus went upstairs, went upstairs to God, he sat down and he was done. There was nothing more to do. His sacrifice on the cross was done. He doesn't have to do any more work. And when he says that his enemies should be made a footstool under his feet, if you believe in Jesus, anything that we struggle with on earth, that's from the enemy. That's not from Jesus, because Jesus already took care of it. So I'm going to name a few really tangibly so we can get what we can. So when we take this, we can remember what Jesus did going into 2021. If you struggle with fear, if you struggle with anger, if you struggle with pride, if you struggle with addiction to drugs, I'm going to say it. If you struggle with addiction to porn, if you have depression, if you have anxiety, you don't have to have those things because Jesus said it's finished. So it's done. So when we take this, it's an act that we're believing what Jesus did. He says in 1 Corinthians to go through this ritual. We don't actually think this is Jesus. This is his blood, and we don't actually believe this is his actual body. It's just a ritual we go through to bring it to our mind what he did on the cross all those thousands of years ago. So can we do that? Can we take this right now? But I want you to remember those things that I listed because they don't have power over you anymore because Jesus said it was done. So going into 2020, that's what we're going to do. So let's take communion and remember. I'm just going to be quiet for a few minutes and you guys can just get into a place of remembering, okay? So go ahead and peel the top off. You can take it. I'm going to pray over us, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross all those years ago for us, Holy God. Thank you for your love for us that you would go through that gruesomeness and defeat the enemy once and for all. Holy Spirit, I pray that you can just help us remember going into 2020 what you did and what doesn't have power over us anymore as much as the enemy likes us to think it does. So I just pray that we can make all these things on earth that we struggle with a footstool under our feet like you did, Lord Jesus. Just bless our year going forward and help us be deeper Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want you to watch this video. This is what you made possible. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, City Light. Thank you, City Light. Give yourself a hand for helping feed 800, minister to 800 kids. So I believe we raised a little over $3,400. So that was a good gift that really helped the ministry in the missions in the Philippines. And Ding and Mona, the pastors, wanted to say a big thank you. Thank you for being so generous and touching so many lives out there in the Philippines. Amen? Amen. So I'm almost done. Karen and I, we want to thank you personally for your generosity in 2020. And you know, we wouldn't even be here today unless you had given throughout that last year. But you know, we looked at 2020, 21, and we know that, you know, there was lots of needs not last year, but there's even more needs this year. And there's more gospel to preach. There's more people, these lives that we want to touch. And so we're asking you, I'm asking you to give by faith and to give generously. I love what Jesus says in this scripture in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Listen to this scripture. This is in the Passion Version. This is what Jesus says. Give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Listen to this last verse. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Wow. You know, so according to Jesus, and he doesn't lie, right? If you're generous and you bless others, generosity and abundance will literally flow back into your life. With the measure that we give, it'll be given unto us. Amen? Amen. There are many ways that you can give: cash, check, debit, credit card, e-transfer. Please give. They're so easy to give today. You know, thank you for giving. And like those hampers that we gave, it literally kind of depleted our fund. Our, what's it called? Sorry. CLC Cares Fund. There it is. CLC Cares, which actually means Community Assistance for Relief and Emergencies. And I know that we had a lot of calls last year. And we're just helping not just our family within the church, but we're helping the community as well. That's our mandate, is to help minister to people. And in some way, through that act of kindness and act of love, it opens people's hearts up to the gospel message. Amen? So let's give generously, let's give like Jesus did, and let's see an abundance of blessings of God in 2021. Amen? Amen. Stand up. I want to declare something over you. Before we leave, thank you, Father. Can I say this in 2021? May God prosper you. May you be in good health, even as your soul prospers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming today. It's so good to have you. If you have a prayer need, we have a prayer team to pray for your needs as well. Otherwise, stick around, kind of keep your social distance, but let's enjoy our fellowship and let's enjoy Jesus today. Amen? Thank you for coming. Let's give a hand to God this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.